All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new Timber Tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you're providing a meal, you're housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We're excited to have a significant conversation about skills training and the idea of the trades. And with us, from the Erie County Technical School, is school director Joe Tarasovich. Good to see you, Joe.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. And chairman of the Joint Operating Committee, Sam Ring, from Northwestern School District. Good to see you, Sam.
Thank you.
All righty. We're a family show. Let's get origin stories. Did you grow up in the Albion area there, Sam?
Actually, I grew up across the border in Ohio.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And as far as school, you've been connected to that area for quite a while.
Moved over to East Springfield in 2001 and became a board member at Northwestern in 2005.
Okay, and so you've been running for re-election all these years. That's good for you.
Some, yes.
And Joe, you're part of the famous Tarasovich family, right? Locally,
I am.
Yeah. What sports did you play?
I played basketball and football in high school, and my son, of course, was the most recent player at McDowell and at Mercer's College. He just finished his career about 2 years ago.
Okay, good. Good to see you both. All right, we're talking about skills. I want to start with the project there because, Joe, this has got to be what 10 plus years in the making of doing these renovations?
I've been there 15 years, Joel, and I tell you the truth, when I got there, I knew this conversation was going on there, so it's probably more like 20 years in the making, and a lot of credit to a lot of people that persevered and really kept pushing and pushing to get this project done, because it's going to be a beautiful addition up there.
So this is really the first significant construction project since the building of the Erie County Technical School, and that's been how many years?
The school started in 1968 and stuff. We had a minor renovation in 1993, but again, this is the most significant since that time.
Wow, wow. And what is the scope of the work? Can you talk about, are you basically impacting nearly every program at the school there?
We are. It's a total infrastructure replacement. Former director Aldo Jackson, probably 10 years ago, made a tour of all the school districts in Erie County with a pipe that had rotted out from underground that had gone bad. They dug it up, and he said, hey, guys, this is going to have to be fixed. And that started the process. But in Erie County, we have an interesting problem or opportunity. All 11 sending school districts all have to agree unanimously in order to do a project like this. So
Unanimously at each school board level?
Not necessarily each one, but all 11 school districts have to approve it.
All right, gotcha.
So it was some heavy lifting for a little while.
Well, what about state money? Did you get any RACP funding or any kind of Department of Ed funding?
No, that Plan Con, as it's known, hasn't been available in quite some time. So again, there is no state or federal funding in this. This is all the 11
That's
school districts.
That's pretty shocking.
Yeah, so
you didn't even get? Did you get COVID money?
No, we did receive COVID money, but nothing towards the renovation. And,
okay.
And then the ARP ESSER grant that just followed up probably in 2021. Of course, that funding, we use that for our secondary building because there's two buildings on our campus.
Okay.
And so some of the needs of the Skills Center, as it's called, we're using some of the ARP ESSER funds for that.
Well, let's talk about the scope of the programming here, because I think people need to understand, you know, that your grandfather's shop class is not the same. And really, we are talking about grandparents, aren't we? At this point, if you started in 68, you know. So, you know, from A to Z, let's talk about the programming that's available at the Erie County Technical School.
Well, we have 18 programs. And again, you're right. They're nothing like they used to be. We'll start with art and design. That's really a marketing class. I'm going to try to go alphabetically in my mind there.
Sure, that'd be great.
So art and design is a program that introduces students to marketing platforms. And, again, it's a very interesting platform for students that are interested in maybe the marketing field. And they can go right into the job market if they want to. But most of those students are looking to go to a post-secondary school to enhance that their curriculum there. So.
So that just right off the bat, that's not your typical construction type of trade. That is much more akin to the humanities at a university or even at a smaller college, right?
I mean, Joel, what you're going to see is when I start mentioning these things, next one would be auto body and auto tech.
Yeah,
those students, you're right. They used to come there and they used to learn that hands-on trade But a lot of these students have opportunities beyond this if they want to, just like our mechanics that are in auto tech. You know, for them to become a master mechanic when they get into a dealership, they got to go on to further their education. Mm-hmm. And it's such a benefit to those dealerships that when they get our students in there on the groundwork, teaching them their skills, and then they offer them to go on for their master mechanic. So, again, those are two in a row, the auto body and auto tech. The next one would be.
And my understanding is that the need for auto body right now is huge.
We cannot support all the requests that the dealerships or the body shops need right now. And, of course, auto body for us this year is a pretty good, solid enrolled lab. So we're hoping to be able to start supporting those needs and stuff like that in the future. And, like, next year's enrollment is at capacity. We're going to have a waiting list in auto body for students.
Waiting list. Wow.
Yeah.
So do you get a sense, Sam, that kids kind of know, you know, where there might be the opportunities they gravitate to these? Or, you know, is that something that your counselors will do and so on?
They definitely play a part in that. The problem is, well, from my perspective, the state is pushing vocational training all the way down to the elementary school.
Especially the new governor. Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
He's like he's eliminating, you know, thousands of a four-year degree requirements. Those are gone now, right? You can go and work for the state for a high school diploma.
So I like that to give exposure, but how many students, even at 16 and 17, know what they want to do for the rest of their life?
100%.
How many 25-year-olds know that today? That's the problem. So the exposure is good. The nice thing about this, even if you go into a program at the tech school and you don't want to do that the rest of your life, you're grounded with an education that does well. Our cosmetology program is full, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of those students may not want to be a full-time, you know, beauty salon owner or worker the rest of their life, but that's a trade that they can use for, if nothing else, supporting their family.
So let's click off a couple more here, Joe. Sam mentioned cosmetology,
I'll keep going alphabetically. I'll come up to cosmetology.
Yeah.
We've got our computer networking program, which
okay.
is working with the infrastructure for computers, the, you know, making sure that the computer can talk to the server and things. And again, a great avenue for kids. Of course, we kind of link those kids if they want to go into further education with the Gannon idea and Mercer's idea with the IHAC school and the Intel program up at Mercer. So, again, those kids have opportunities to expand from there or go right in the job market.
Sure.
We've got computer programming, which the kids are learning how to write language. And, again, we have an outstanding teacher in that program. There's a waiting list in that program. We can't fulfill everybody's wish for next year for that program.
Now, let me ask you about the waiting list here. Mm-hmm. Is it a situation where you just have a capacity as far as space, or do you are you in need of qualified teachers for these classes?
We have every teacher's qualified, so it's not really a need for teachers. What we have is an article of agreement. Every one of our teachers can address 48 students throughout the day.
Okay.
And so 24 in the a.m. and 24 in the afternoon. So we each district has an equal share of those seats. And so when the seats are taken up, we can't fulfill those other ones that want to be in there. So yeah, that's where it creates the waiting list.
That's so interesting. Do you feel like the, you know, it's kind of a broad question, but do you feel like the school is right size for the county, or do we need more capacity?
I think it's pretty well sized correctly. I think as we go, new programming would help. We've got some ideas. The superintendents are talking about some ideas to increase that. The problem is if you get too many and you get diluted down, then you're going to have too small of a student pool and won't be able to support a teacher. These are expensive programs.
Absolutely.
I don't want to mention anymore and throw Joe's
his A to Z off.
Yeah. Right, but there are some that are extremely, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, and it's got to be replaced to stay up with, you know, right, with the current technology.
I feel like the it's going to be a chicken and the egg issue, and if demand, you know, kind of swings to the lower end, it's inevitably going to swing back. Although we do have a macro issue here in Erie County that our population is actually declining. Are you seeing that at Northwestern?
We are definitely declining. I will tell you, at the technical school next year, our enrollment is going to be the highest that I've seen since 2005 when I came on the board.
Are you serious? I mean, Joe, I mean, that's remarkable. So obviously the word is out that skills, you know, at the technical school, the skills generation is the important part of this, a huge important part of this piece.
I think the message that's going throughout our communities, even in the nation, you know, that skilled trades are needed, and that, you know, let's face it, if they get a good trade that, coming out of our school, some of them are making more money than a four-year degree. I just had a young man come to me from facility maintenance program. That's our smorgasbord lab. I mean, he was so proud. He had a brand new truck already. He's living on his own. And this is a young man that's 19 years old, just out of high school. And he was just so excited to show off the new truck, the idea that he is living on his own already at 19 years old, and there's no debt there. So, no, the idea of skilled trades is out there. But also, I think parents are starting to realize it's a great platform for students to learn, and that it's not a dead end, and we already talked about, mm-hmm, these students can go on for further education if they want to. So again, it's a great situation that we have right now going in our community.
They're getting a skill, even if it is not the final answer,
yes,
for their career. I want to ask you the question, could you ask your panel if there's been any modifications to the ramifications to regular high school education that may help a child attend the VOTEC, such as if a child does not do well with algebra, can they take basic math that they can pass so they can maintain that C average to attend VOTEC? Joe, you want to grab that one?
Sure. Right now, of course, we have no academics at our school. So again, we rely on the home school to deliver those academic skills, and we deliver the career and technical school. But with the ramifications, if a student is struggling at the sending school, again, we're there to support them. And again, we can help them through their guidance counselors, look at the appropriate curriculum and courses they may need. The nice thing that's going on in education right now is, you know, with the Keystone testing that the seniors got to take, there's different graduation options now, and that's where the Career and Technical Center is getting involved. So if a student doesn't do very well on the Keystones, that's not holding them back from graduation now, because a student can get a high school diploma through a certificate and completion of our programs and stuff. So those certifications that they earn with us are becoming very valuable now to the sending schools, because they give them options to graduate a student.
Is that, wow, that's interesting. But they still need to retain a C average, right?
They need a good average, yeah. We would like to have that, to attend to our school, yes.
Logistically, too, Sam, we were talking off air about, you know, it's quite a bit of a bus ride from Northwestern to Oliver Road there. How does that work in keeping the kids kind of focused and on task?
It can be a challenge, especially for Northwestern and Northeast.
Sure. You know, yeah, Northeast is the other one.
Furthest away school districts. I think at one point, and maybe we still are, eating lunch on the bus.
Okay.
That's one of the things that, you know, they give that up to be able to do that. So it's a challenge. It's a long way. For years, we've talked about different programs. In fact, today when somebody heard I was coming on here to talk about tech school, they were going back to when they were a student 30 years ago or 40 years ago, or I don't know how long ago, but when it was, they did 2 weeks.
2 weeks about, yeah.
2 weeks and then 2 weeks at the home district. Yeah. There's a variety of different ways. I don't know of a better way than every day, half a day, but that's a challenge when you're further away.
What, before the creation of the technical school, either you had shop or you didn't have shop, right? It's only the schools that could afford vocational training, right? Or did they all generally have it?
No, I would say before the Career Technical Center in 1968, you're right, they were more general shop classes,
yeah.
And the students were getting a basic understanding of that, never this in-depth knowledge that they get now.
Interesting. All right, let's go down the list here. We were at computers, and we also mentioned cosmetology. Yeah. Do we have all the C's covered?
No, next one would be construction trades.
There you go.
Yeah, and what we're seeing at our building with all those people looking for, you know, employees, we have a great lab up there that teaches the students everything from masonry up to the roof, and that's a lab that's filled. We have a waiting list for that next year.
Talk about the handoff from what you're doing at Votech, and sorry if I'm intermingling all these different descriptions, but the handoff from the technical school to, let's say, a pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship in the actual construction union trades, you know?
Well, right now we don't have really what we would call pre-apprenticeship program connection, and we're working on that for precision machining, which we can talk about in a few minutes there. But every one of the building industries and unions are up at our school yearly, and it's a great relationship that we have. They're recruiting our students. They're giving our students the opportunity and the knowledge how to go about to get into their apprenticeship programs. So again, it's a great relationship, but many, many of our kids are going out and working, you know, immediately after graduation.
I was gonna say, I mean, literally they're graduating in June, and they could have had three, how many years could you be at Votech?
You're 3 years.
Sophomore year,
yes,
too.
Yes, it's a 3-year program. A lot of our students at the end of their junior year we'll start what we call cooperative education, where they're out there working and earning a money to go to school. And good then their whole senior year, they're out there doing the same thing. So it's a great relationship that we do, and we have some great partners in every one of the industries. So
many of them are hired during the co-op program. My best friend from high school time, he went tech school, went to a program co-op, and today is still working in that co-op. It's been passed on down the family, but same place he started his co-op is where he's still working now. His son graduated 2 years ago and is now in an apprenticeship program with the union.
My listeners need to understand that because so many baby boomers are aging out of this whole situation, especially these super specialist construction tradesmen, you know, that one drywall guy, that one mutter that, you know, you just can't replace. We need these kids to come in to backfill.
Absolutely.
because we're losing these skill sets in our community. And so, I mean, think about that. So do you have like subsets in the construction trades, or do they learn all of the carpentry and drywall and
in the construction trades lab? They're learning all the skills that they would need.
Okay.
So at a foundation level, masonry, of course, drywalling, framing, roofing. So again, that's one of those that they learn everything in there. The next C would be cosmetology, of course. And as we all said, cosmetology, these young ladies come out of our program with their PA state license. And it's really, when they graduate, I give my credit to my instructors. We actually have a new instructor recently, but again, the last 2 or 3 years, probably 99%, I'm going to go that high, of our seniors graduate with their state board's license. So, and of course, cosmetology has a waiting list that I couldn't even talk about. It just, it's incredible.
Wow.
It's credit to the young ladies. And
now,
young
is men. That one that's in balance? I mean, as far as the jobs that are out there, or are there enough jobs for cosmetologists? I guess my question.
Well, in the state and in this area, cosmetology is not looked at as a high priority occupation,
right.
family
right.
sustaining wage. But I think a lot of the people that are in that industry would debate that with you, and I respect them immensely because
sure.
these young ladies or young men, when they get out there, they're making a nice living for themselves.
I was going to say, if you can get in a decent shop which has a good clientele, you're gonna make a nice family sustaining wage,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially a haircut is $120. Yeah, think about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Our next lab going out there would be culinary arts. That's where the students
okay.
come in and learn their cooking and bakery skills. Once again, that's one of our biggest renovation pieces.
Yeah, what are you planning on doing for culinary arts in the new structure there?
Well, that's all going to be brand new to our kids. It's
wow.
a two-teacher lab, and so that whole facility, when you get in there, each student will have their individual oven and working stations there.
Sam and Joe, we've been going down the list here, and you had just mentioned before the break that the big investment for culinary arts, basically every program is getting dollars in space. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, with the renovation, every program will be touched. And,
yeah.
Again, renovated or brand new, as such as culinary is. We have a new spot for our hospitality program, which really is a mock hotel room. It's very neat. Our instructor did a wonderful job managing how he was going to be able to incorporate not only a mock hotel room because of Murphy beds that we can put away, but the front lobby there. So he did a wonderful job with that. Again, our early childhood education will be getting a new area as well and stuff. And that's a neat program because we actually operate a preschool with our students there. So there's
you do.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's very neat. Kids will come, preschoolers. 3 to 5, 6 years old will come to our campus for about 2 hours in the morning to work with our high school students. So it gives them hands-on experience. And then the same thing happens in the afternoon. So that's another area that'll be touched. Then we have some spaces that we're adding for future thoughts about what we're going to do there.
And you're also beefing up the infrastructure, right?
As Sam mentioned to you before, when this got started, we knew that we had pipe problems, and then,
right.
of course, the infrastructure will
so
be addressed.
HVAC, boilers, the whole nine yards, right?
All new.
That's, yeah. The motto in Erie District is warm, safe, and dry. We've got to make sure that the kids don't have, water dripping on their heads and that they have a warm place. All right, we've been going through all the different programs at the Erie County Technical School, and before we keep going here, let's talk about the what's available for adults or what has changed, because there might be some misunderstanding of what's available out there, because at one point you did have a pretty robust skills program for adults, right?
Yes, we sure did. And again, with COVID, it kind of put a damper on, fulfilling adult education there. But we still are pretty strong. The automotive industry relies on the Erie County Technical School, and we actually, the adult program is called the Regional Choice Technical Center. And so the automotive people come and get recertification for their inspection and emissions license. So that's
okay.
one of our strong suits there. This past year, we kind of stepped back from our welding support. And we've passed that on to the Erie Community College. We're all trying to now to work as partners. And so the Erie Community College leases our secondary welding lab. And again, many people are going there for their associate's degree, but I know the community college is out there to help anybody with, if it's just a course that a company might want for a welding. So again, the community college, people have to understand that the mentality is that this can be a student there for one course and stuff. So that's what really has to be thought process there. We also supported industrial electricity this past year. We had, I think, 25 students, adults, come through our program for industrial electricity levels 1 and 2. So again, that's a neat thing.
These are like certificate programs.
Yes.
To get certified at that level. Okay,
right.
Wow.
And then we have a third-party vendor for CDL training up there, PA Pride. And again, we help them get students enrolled in that. And again, they work through us. So again, those are some of the things that we got going on there. I know in the future, as we get through COVID, myself, the administration will probably start to think about, you know, where to go and what to offer for adults. But
with the Erie County Community College, it's kind of easy to make those bridges that
absolutely
way,
you know absolutely I mean? And we don't want to compete with the Erie Community College. They're definitely going to have a strong footprint in this area,
and we love that the partnerships are there. All righty, we were at I can't remember where we were at, Joe.
We stopped at culinary, so I'll pick up with the D now.
Okay. All right?
Drafting and design is where our students learn, of course, CAD work and architectural work. Most of those students, even though they can go out in the field, most of those students are going on to post-secondary. A lot of them like to go to Penn State Barron because Barron's engineering program is very strong. So, again, a lot of those students will head out that way. We have early childhood education, and I've already mentioned that it's going to be one of the newer parts of our building. But those students come to learn to how to be a certified preschool assistant, but most of those students that come to us are going to go on the post-secondary because they want to go into education and learn that. So a lot
now,
of
and we've been hearing like for post-secondary ed, like Northern Regional College has an ability to get an associate's or a certificate level for early childhood. And so, I mean, talk about a felt need. There are so many jobs for childcare out there, and they can't get enough workers, and so you guys are part of the solution.
Well, we're trying to be, that's for sure. When you mention these other schools, our students have the opportunity to also, if they want to go on, articulation agreements, so they can get credits to help support them in their further education with organizations around here. So early childhood definitely has that opportunity. I believe with Edinburgh and, of course, West Penn now and stuff like that. The next E would be electrical engineering. That's residential and industrial electricians. Okay. A waiting list. Again, we can't, we're turning students away again, but as a waiting list, very strong program. Facility.
And again, making strategic connections with the electricals union?
Absolutely.
Was it IBEW or something like that?
You have it. Yeah, Joel.
Okay.
Wow. The next lab would be called facility maintenance technology. That's what I call the smorgasbord up at our. They're learning how to become a building supervisor. They're learning everything from some basic electricity to masonry work, but drywall and construction. So it's really the facility manager role and stuff.
Have you seen any of the students coming out of the technical school actually starting to work at some of these schools across the districts at all, Sam? Mm-hmm. I wonder if you know, you think about it. I mean, that's who's on strike right now in Los Angeles are the building maintenance people and the groundskeepers and all that stuff, you know.
I'm not personally aware of any that are right now, but I'm sure there are at some point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of buildings in
Joel,
education, you know.
If I can be a proud director, proud former principal, on our construction site right now, we have a half dozen of the workers, construction workers, that are graduates of our school.
Fantastic.
So that is fantastic. Yeah. I love when they come up to me and, hey, Mr. Tarasowicz, I'm here, I made it. And it's great to have those people on our campus.
They'd take another six or eight, too, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would.
I bet.
Yeah. The next lab is our graphic communications. That's where students will learn anything for graphic production and development and stuff like that. The neat thing today, we just bought them a brand new printer, and they actually have a cutout of Shaquille O'Neal, and the kids were so excited about this one, and I forget the actor they have. I'm an old man, I don't remember all these actors, but the girls were pretty excited about getting this actor up. So there's a project they were doing. They were getting a life-size print ups. The next lab would be a health assistant, and these are a very strong lab for us. It used to have a waiting list, and the only reason why it doesn't have a waiting list is we developed a new program, and I'll get to in a few minutes. But health assistants, they can become certified nursing assistants coming out of this program. But again, another lab where our students use it as a platform to go on to post-secondary. Most of these students are going to become LPNs, RNs. We actually, I think it was probably 5 years ago, I'm aging myself now, but we had two students in the same graduating class that got accepted in the LECOM 3+2 program out
of
here.
Oh, my.
The instructor, the instructor in this program, she's phenomenal. These kids are prepared to go into a post-secondary education.
I mean, I don't think it could be overstated at the importance of what the technical school and that three-year training that you give when you're talking about skill stacking. I mean, that's really evident in healthcare where you could you can come out, be that nurse's aide, but then you become an LPN, and then you can become an RN or an MSN, and just start stacking your skill sets as you grow. And to your point, Sam, I mean, again, does every 17-year-old know what the heck they want to do when they grow up? Not necessarily, but you can provide some guidance and actually really – they could have a rewarding experience.
After 3 years, they may find out that's the program that I don't want to do. You just saved those parents a whole lot of money if they went on to a, especially a private college.
Right. Is there guidance counseling, or is that happening at the homeschools and things like that? How does that all work? I mean, when people are making their choices.
Well, of course, the homeschool guidance counselors are involved, but we have a guidance counselor. We have a fancy name for Mary Folkrod. Her name is occupation at our school is called the career planning coordinator. And so she gets involved with making sure the kids are, you know, when they make this decision, making sure they know what type of, you know, math and reading levels they need, what other opportunities they might have to fulfill, and then what other opportunities are out there for it. So again, she's guiding them through their three-year career, you know, really for all our students, you know, over 700 that we have. So she's a pretty busy lady.
Amazing. Amazing. Let's keep going. Yep. We're down to our last 10 minutes or so with our friends from the Erie County Technical Institute.
The next lab is called Metal Fabrication Technology. And of course, that's our welding lab.
Okay.
And again, it's a lab that we have a waiting list on. And again, as we know, there is such a need in this area for welders that, again, we're trying to support them. And the new teacher that we have, I think is his third year there, he's done some really neat things of introducing our kids to some neat different directions. So, again, kids that come to our welding lab are ready for employment and, again, can get out there.
I mean, are you seeing direct connections to like a Wabtec or Don John and things like that?
No, we'll have them call us and stuff like that. Absolutely.
They will call you. Yep. Wow.
Tour and hospitality management. I mentioned that they go into a new area up there, but that we're connected. Those are students that are learning about the hotel and restaurant industry. And again, we have a great relationship with Scott Enterprises because before this new lab that I told you has a mock hotel room and you know some neat things, their lab experience was over at the Ambassador and Marriott on Peachtree with Nick Scott's partnership. So again, we're grateful to the partnership that we've had over the years, and our kids are learning a lot of great skills. And then finally, our newest program, it's brand new this year. It's called Sports Therapy and Exercise Science.
Oh, wow.
And this is where the students are coming to learn about physical therapy, being an athletic trainer. So it gives them all kinds of options. We're pretty excited about that. And this year it had like 24 students involved in it. And really, we could have filled it up this year, but with recruiting ideas, we got to manage the numbers. Next year, it'll have 40 students in it.
Wow.
And that's why health won't have a waiting list, because some of the students now are starting to think, okay, do I want to go into this health area, health assistant area?
Mm-hmm.
Or sports therapy. But I can honestly tell you, next year, if we were sitting here, both those programs will have waiting lists.
So that could be, what, a fitness trainer? Or
absolutely, fitness trainer. They'll come out of there with some certifications, again, athletic trainership, fitness trainer.
Yeah.
But a lot of these students are springboarding this to become a physical therapist or one of those type of skills.
I think my daughter, she's a graduate of Slippery Rock, and I think their number one major down there is this exercise science. I mean, it's massive.
Yeah, and we have an articulation agreement with Slippery Rock, and of course, so again, trying to make sure we have the connection so the kids can go on and maybe benefit from their experience at our place. Yep.
All right, so when we talk about the balance of all of this, again, because, you know, they still need to learn math and science, and of course, when you're you know, when you're a construction worker, you have to be able to math this thing out, you know. I mean, sometimes you're dealing with tolerances of thousands of an inch or something like that. Talk about, you know, as a school board member, how do you, Sam, balance all of this, you know, so it's not just the technical knowledge, but also the really important stuff that you learn in high school, you know.
Math is foundational to everything.
Right.
And I think that's – I've heard some students say, I want to go to tech school because I'm not very good in math. Well, that's not very good. It's difficult because, you know, as an adult, we use math in everything. And so we do – we don't teach math, but we do have some tutors.
Well, we actually have what we call a technical math instructor.
Oh, wow.
And, again, I'm going to go back to Precision Machining's lab there. They're learning everything from Algebra 1 to trigonometry in that lab, and it's needed to when you talk about tolerance and making sure things are precise. So, again, we hire a teacher that bleeds right into these rooms and supports our professional teachers, but also to support that math delivery
sure.
and stuff. So that and that's in every one of our labs that we teach a technical skill math throughout their career.
Amazing.
The problem is that there's some students that just don't learn well in the classroom.
Yeah,
they struggle.
What do they call that?
And we've seen them go into the tech school, and they thrive, mm-hmm. even in math, because mm-hmm. it makes sense now. Yeah. There's a reason for it. That's what's exciting when you can see some of these students that they may be a mediocre student back in their tech school, but they come up, they never miss a day of tech. They might miss a week of homeschool, but they're there every day for tech, and they do great.
Yeah,
because they're thriving because they understand those concepts now that were only in a book before.
Let's broaden the spectrum. I want to get your opinions because we talk about this workforce readiness piece so much. And, you know, you've got older folks that are either ready to write off the younger generation, number one, or they're very fearful that there's nobody to hand the baton out to them. So as you guys, as you see your perspectives, should we be so worried about all this, or will things take care of themselves, or do we need a lot more investment when it comes to skills training?
I would say that the investment in skills training is always welcome. I think right now, as we said, the governor is really addressing that in his budget. But the students that I see and I experience on a daily basis, I'm proud of them. I really don't. I guess I'm nervous because there's more job needs out there than we're going to be able to support. But those students that we have in our school, they're going to do a great job out there in the community when they graduate.
Sam, what do you think?
I'm not concerned about the students that are involved. I think there's going to be a place for them. I would be more, on a personal level, more worried about the culture. You know, what are we doing in our regular schools? We're worried about so many things. Are we really worried about what they're going to do when they graduate? You know, I think that sometimes get lost. I mean, the governor can put out the different things and the state can come up with, you know, these ideas. But culturally, where are we? We're trying to hire people all the time. Where are they?
Yeah.
It is a worry. So that's not all fake.
Yeah,
but yet there are many opportunities. I mean, go hire a plumber. You know, it's not cheap.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it seems like culture has swung. The question is whether the volume of workers and you know, and there's some macro things that the school cannot fix. And you know,
right.
insofar as you know, retaining our kids to stay here. You know, as opposed to kids that, you know, will learn here and then they go somewhere else. If we can retain these young people to stay in Erie County or in northwestern Pennsylvania, the tri-state, then it's going to go a long way to bettering our community. But you know, you have the question, where are the jobs? Jobs are everywhere. There's thousands of jobs, literally. It's the idea that we have the right workforce for the jobs, for the needs of today and of tomorrow. And it sounds like with this major investment at the Erie County Technical School, it's at least one significant step to make sure that we're staying with where the need is, right?
I really believe Erie community and our 11 school districts should be proud of their investment because it is going in the right direction. They are now making sure they're sending the message to students and parents that a career in technical school is valued and that there is opportunities out there. So again, I think the message is being sent, and I think the Erie County Technical School in the future will be supporting Erie County with great employees.
And when you hear buzzwords like STEM and STEAM, it's really what's happening at ECTS.
Very much so. I mean,
especially the STEAM part. I was surprised at hearing about the arts kinds of things that y'all do.
Well, I know, me being a former math teacher, I've really come over my 16 years at the tech school, appreciate the curriculum and the development of our teachers, because our students are there for 2.5 hours. When I was a math teacher, the most I taught was 85 minutes. And again, that's a long time. So our teachers are very well prepared to deliver curriculum. And like I said, our students are getting a great curriculum out here at the tech school.
Beautiful. We're going to leave it there. We want to thank you, gentlemen, so much. From the Erie County Technical School, Director Joe Tarasovich, and Chairman of the Joint Operating Committee, Sam Bring from Northwestern School District. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.